truly understand it. And you got to think about when Paul is writing this to the early church. Because the early church in the beginning was Jewish converts. So he's writing to the Jewish people that were just recent converts, because in Acts, at Pentecost, 3,000 of them became born-again believers. And a lot of those Jewish people went back to Rome and they started their own churches. And then out of that, Gentiles got saved. So you have a Jewish Messianic Jews, or they had the dietary laws, they had the feast and everything else, and then they were trying to impose that also onto the Gentiles. And so there's sometimes, you know, we talk about, it'd be nice if the church is back in the first century. If you read about how the early church was, there was a lot of squabbles. Because some of us, this is what he's talking about, there's sometimes there's disagreements. Ever had a disagreement in church with somebody else? And we don't always see it with me. I can't believe you said that. So I'm doing something right. But don't we all, we have disagreements, don't we? With brothers and sisters in Christ. Because sometimes when we read the Word of God and see it, they might have a different lens. They see it through a different lens than what we do. Because it could be our background, maybe the denomination that we came out of, our upbringings, or whatever else. We do see things a little bit different sometimes, right? And so, as we read, we want to read Romans 14, 1 to 13. It says, Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things. He who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God received him. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God he is able to make him stand. One person is seen one day above another, another is seen every day alike. Each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He who gives, God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt in your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Isn't that something? All of us will give an account to God. So if you're an atheist, you will give an account to God, no matter what you think. You all will give an account. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put stumbling block for causing to fall in our brother's way. And if you look at Romans 15, I don't have that up there. 15:1 says, when then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good and leading to edification. There's a lot there. What he's talking about is sometimes we have disagreements because, like I shared, the Messianic Jews, they had a dietary law. So they could only eat certain things. They couldn't eat pork. They couldn't eat, they followed the holidays. Sabbath, there was a day of rest. And for a Gentile, we have the freedom that we can eat whatever it is that we feel like eating. We're not limited to eating pork. Sometimes we don't want to eat pork. Sometimes we don't want to eat certain foods. But we have that liberty. For the Jewish people who were brought into the church, became born again, they still have this mindset of the dietary laws that they still have. And so they were trying to impose that. And so that was causing grief within the body of Christ. So Paul's trying to address this. It's like, don't judge somebody if they don't want to eat certain foods. Because I know Christmas is coming around the corner. And sometimes some of us, we don't put up a Christmas tree. And some of us put up a Christmas tree. And so sometimes if we allow that, say that particular thing, could that be a place of contention or strife in the church? Right? It can be. Because some people will say certain things and other people say, well, I'll have the freedom to put up. Is it a non-negotiable? Is it causing the salvational issue? By putting up a Christmas tree or not to put up a Christmas tree. So we have the liberty of that. It's not supposed to be causing a stumbling block to somebody. It's just like if you go hunting and people go, you're a Christian, you hunt? You kill an innocent animal? How can you do that? You're supposed to be loving the trees and doing all this. Sometimes that could be a stumbling block to other people. It can be. Right? So this is what Paul is trying to say. There's things in our lives that we do can be a cause and a stumbling block to others. It's just, so we have to be not looking down upon somebody and have a stumbling block. Likewise, if you like to have a glass of wine with your wife, it's okay to drink it. But if somebody who's in alcoholism or maybe doesn't want to drink, then you don't drink around them, because then that will cause an offense. Or a stumbling block. You know what I'm trying to say? It should be showing grace, not judgment. He doesn't give us the whole thing of I can do whatever I feel like doing, and God's grace will just cover it all. No, we're supposed to live a righteous, holy life. Grace does not allow me to just sin however I feel like. You live in my life however I want. God's grace enables me to live a righteous life so that I would become more like Christ every day. Dying to sin. Yielding to Him. So in 1 Corinthians 10, 31-33, 1 Corinthians 10, therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in other things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that will be saved. When we look at how Paul is just trying to say, don't put stumbling blocks in front of people. Some people have a weak faith, and sometimes we have a strong faith. So those who have a strong faith live more in the liberty of God rather than those who have a weak faith. But we're not supposed to judge. We're supposed to encourage one another in the faith to grow. We all have stumbling blocks in our lives. So verse 11 to, if we look at Romans 14, 11 to 12, when it says, For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue will shall confess God. So each of us shall give an account to himself. How do I live? This is what really what Paul is talking about, unity within the body of Christ. Do we cause strife in the church to cause stumbling blocks? Do I want to cause people to have a stumbling block in the church? Hopefully not. Do I want to see people to grow in Christ? Yes. And how, and we have to be mindful, how do I live and how does it affect others? So sometimes we think, it doesn't hurt anybody else, because it's just hurt, it only won't hurt me. But that's the wrong attitude, because what we do will affect others. Right? How we, you know, in our home, right? How do we affect our children in our home? How do I affect others even in my workplace? Do I live a holy, right life? And that it reveals Christ to the other people in my, where I work at. How do I live? As John prayed this morning, that we would not be just here on Sunday, right? But even throughout the whole week, that we would be feeling Christ to others. In my school, am I living a righteous life? To my friends. That's why the girls are sitting over there, because the boys are very bad influence on them. They're trying to live a godly life, and the boys are just... You got the five amigos over there. Well, Zane's over there, but I mean, it's just... maybe he's the smart one, but... you don't know? I know. Sometimes I question that, too. But how am I a good influence to my friends? Do we keep each other in check? Or do we just go, that's all right, God will forgive me? Do I encourage my friends to want to grow in a godly life? So Micah 6:8, you know, we have that. How do we have that? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? But to do it justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly is putting others before you. What I want to come last is I want to put my family first, or my wife first, or my kids first. How do I want to walk? Do I walk humbly before the Lord? The Bible reminds us as we meditate on it that God Almighty wants us to know Him. He wants to be known. He wants us to know Him. Not just of Him, but to really know His heart. And throughout Scripture, He reveals Himself to us, desires us to grab hold of Him, to trust and rely on Him. And it's at times it's hard to put your complete trust in Him. Isn't that so? Yet He says, I would never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you. Especially when you're not letting go of the control of your life. And you try and do it in your own strength. You know, I think of my life. Like, I asked the Lord, Lord, I want to go deeper with you. You know, it's the first time in 30-some years I have not had a full-time job. That's really tough. Over 30 years of not having a full-time job. And I asked God for me to go deeper with Him. Doesn't make sense, does it? Well, it does make perfect sense to God. But in my view, it's like, hey, I got to let go. Have a apply for jobs? Yes. Have I got? I only got 2 interviews so far. One I turned down. But I think how God's been providing. So is that an area of growth for me? So I think about, was my faith a little weak? Until we hit reality and actually, this is our heart. We want to grow deeper with the Lord. Because it's tough. Because it's being letting go of what I want. It's like saying, Lord, hey, here I am, Lord. I want to go deeper with you. And he's like, he hears that. Do I want to go deeper with the Lord today? Because he will stretch. He will cause things to happen for your glory, for his glory, and for your purpose to grow and trust him. And I'm reminded of sometimes we get caught up with what this world thinks that we should be doing. I mean, I could do a 15-6 schedule, no problem. I could be doing gone all the time. But I choose not to, because other things are more important than making a lot of money. Money is not everything. It helps. But what's the important thing in your life today? What is the most important thing today in your life? Is your relationship with the Lord? Is it relationship with your friends and family? Your kids? What's the most important thing? What is causing you to live? Don't get me wrong, we all need money to survive. But there's money to be used to provide all that money. God provides. He opens doors. He closes doors. To me, I think about right now I'm coaching 2 hockey teams. Well, but you see how I want to pour into the community. I want to be used by God so that these young kids will know Christ. And as long the last 2 months, God has given me opportunity to share my faith with others. So is that worth it? Did God know my job would end and then that he would use that situation to share the gospel to other people that don't know Christ? How do we look at it? Do we get discouraged at times? Do we say in self-pity, maybe at times? But do we say, Lord, here I am. Lord, help me to overcome this. To grow in faith, to really rely on you. When you have a really good job, it's easy to trust God. It is when you don't have the finances coming in all the time, is when you have to put your full trust in God. So I am reminded, Lord, I need your help to trust you in this area, to let go, and to recognize that I can't do it in my own strength. Romans 14-15, it's all about relationships with the body of Christ. All is talking about unity within the body of Christ. We all have differences. We're all not going to agree on 100% of everything. So when we talk about judging, it's about relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we talk about judging one another, we hear that, oh, don't judge me. take that out of context. So why does some scriptures, does the Bible say we ought to judge, determine if somebody actually is a real brother? We're supposed to judge. We're supposed to be true inspectors. Do you actually, does my life reflect the life of Christ? Do I produce, or does he produce, is the fruit of Christ being revealed in my life even right now? Does the Bible contradict itself? No. So when the Bible tells us that we are to examine one another's fruit in their lives, what is being produced in our lives? Are we being sanctified? Are we being transformed into the image of Christ? To be a believer, we're not perfect. We have faults. We have weaknesses. Right? Sanctification is an ongoing process that the Holy Spirit does in you, changing your heart so that you come more and more in alignment to the Word of God. When we fall, do we repent? When I make a mistake, when I lash out at people, or do I repent for my behavior? Do I take accountability of how I live? That's the thing. Do I take accountability for how I live? Not to pass saying, well, the world or this has caused me to do this, but take the onus of how you are living. Christ, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a holy life. He has already given us all things necessary for life and godliness. He's already given it. What do we do? Do we take it? Do we apply it? Are we really a believer and follower of Christ? Am I dying to self? Coming to church on Sunday doesn't make you a believer, or being baptized doesn't make you a believer. But put your faith and trust in Christ alone. Saying that, Lord, I bend my knee to you now, and I repent of my sins, and I need you. I'm willing to rely on you for everything. That's what makes you a believer, a follower of Christ. Scripture says that we are to examine one another to see, in fact, if we're in the household of faith. Jesus even said, you will know them by their fruit. The Bible does say, thou shalt not judge. When the Bible says that, the world, you know, the word actually should, it means do not condemn. It says, do not judge others, do not condemn the other person. Don't bring, no, because in Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So when he's saying, do not judge, don't condemn them. But when we see a brother or sister in Christ maybe not walking in a godly way or walking in sin, do we just throw stones at them? Or do we help them, come alongside of them, to help bring them out of the pit? So Galatians 6:1-4, says, brethren, if a man is overtaken with any trespass, you who are spiritually restored such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest, please, you also be tempted. We can't think of I'm better than somebody. If I see my brother in sin, I'm like, I can't believe they're doing that sin. Because I bet you, I'm not a betting man, but every time I try to bet, I... But when we look down upon somebody who's in a certain sin and say, oh, how can it be that? Next thing you know, you're in that sin. Yeah. Right? Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. So come alongside them. Be praying with them. It's hard. For if anyone who thinks of himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. So you think you have it all together, where it says you're deceiving yourself. I don't have it all together. I'm still growing. I still find a lot of faults to ask my wife, to ask my kids. But let each one of them examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. At times we need to address things. It's hard to run away when Scripture reveals sin that's operating in our lives. There is a time, you know, there is sometimes fakeness in the church. Sometimes the church is not operating in a biblical way. Sometimes it's acting like the world. Psalm 133, 1-3. Behold, now I'm good, and behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Unity. This whole thing what Paul's trying to talk about in Romans 14 and 15 is about unity within the body of Christ. To encourage one another. Not to put stumbling blocks in front of people. Not to say that I'm better than you because I think a different way. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the head of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For that the Lord commanded for the blessing life forevermore. When there's unity, there's a blessing. Think of how pleasant it is when we dwell in unity. When people say, well, how come there's so many different denominations? I would say because of disagreements. People say, well, I believe this. They divided. I believe this scripture, so they divided. You see it through history. There's been division. And you think about even the early church. When the Jewish people were part of the congregation, there was richness because they could actually show and teach the Gentiles what it means, what the scriptures really meant. And then the Jewish people were putting all this onus on them, saying, so you have to do this. When it should be just a liberty and to learn about it, to grow. Unity is in the congregation or our home is key, so that there is not an open door on offense or resentment or bitterness. So when there's disunity within the body of Christ, offenses start, resentment starts. Bitterness starts. All the strife. Then I would say it's the Holy Spirit here to convict us of it. You know, Satan loves to get a foothold. Then he opens up a greater offense. Because then what happens? You start replaying certain things, what somebody has said, and you start maybe get more bitter, more resentful. And you start backbiting, you segregate people, and you don't want to deal with it. And he asks us if we have an offense or resentment or bitterness that we deal with it. You go to that person. Unity only comes from the Holy Spirit, who's working in your heart. The Holy Spirit transforms us to become more like Christ. You know, the world brings outside pressures onto the believer. We know that. There's outside forces that come upon the believer because the world does not want the believer to transform or renewed in Christ. if once the believer become like them, like the world. That's why the Bible says, you know, do not conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Worldly things brings us off track. However, do we have unity in the non-negotiables? So non-negotiables are: Christ is the only way for salvation. He died and rose. He lives. He is God. That's a non-negotiable. Like, it's Christ is the only way for heaven, only way for salvation. There's no other name to be saved. Not everybody gets saved. You have to repent. So those are the non-negotiables. And so the other thing, is it a salvational issue that we maybe disagree on? Sometimes we disagree on the non-salvational issues, like pre-rapture, post-rapture, mid-rapture. Right? Sometimes those are not a salvational issue. I don't know, can you think of some other non-salvational issues that we might argue about or disagree about? Don't let those be stumbling blocks. That's what Paul's saying. Do not let those things that are non-salvational issues be stumbling blocks for the body of Christ. So weakness becomes problematic for the believer when, rather than them turning to God with the issue, and they're trying to rely on themselves. So if someone is weak in faith, they look to external culture, ceremony, customs as being a critical for a believer's maturity. So they believe that if I keep all these things, my faith becomes stronger. But it doesn't. The only way my faith gets stronger is when I rely more on Christ every day. Do I trust Him more than I did last? Do I trust Him more than the previous week, a year ago? Is my faith growing stronger in Him? Do I love His Word more than ever before? Do I love to read His Word? Do I love to share who He is? Then our faith is getting stronger. Second Corinthians 12:9 says, He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, gladly, most gladly, I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We all have weaknesses, but we always try to show off our strengths. Isn't that so? That's what the world does. Meaning that God's power is made perfect in the most evident in human weakness. So in your weakness, it's like, man, I can't do this. And we cry out to God and say, Lord, I need your strength. I need your supernatural power to enable me to live this life. And Lord, I think I know what I'm doing is right. And then you get all, you know, think you're that and a bag of chips. And you're like, well, I could do it all. I could do this. And then you fall. So in our weakness, it reflects the belief that true strength comes from. So sometimes we think true strength comes from self-sufficiency. It's not so. Your strength comes from Christ. Say that right? We ought to recognize one's need for God and allow His grace and power to work through one's struggles and shortcomings. It becomes problematic when and others try to rely on ourselves to make up for the weakness still that we have. We try to make it up. We try to do it in our own strength rather than turn to Christ. So weakness begins to be problematic when we start to row our own boat. Kirk has a boat, thankfully it doesn't have any oars because it doesn't go anywhere. To be strong in Jesus, to put up the sail, to be carried along by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you, be active. Not to have our own paddles and think I need to go this way or that way, but it's just like, Lord, here I am. The problem always comes when we pick up our oars ourselves and start rowing in our own strength. Weakness in God's kingdom is self-reliance. Rowing on your own. Strength in God's kingdom is God-reliance. Allowing Him to be the wind in your sails. And to remember that the kingdom of God is a matter of Remember that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. And while this does not mean that you have freedom, it does mean that yes, you have freedom with food, feast, and fashion. You wear sandals in church, not cowboy boots. I don't know if that's a fashion statement or not. I think sandals are better. But the second part of the verse reminds us that we all live our lives for Christ. It's not meant to be solely about enjoying these freedoms alone. The focus of our lives is to enjoy the freedoms of Christ for our freedom's sake, to live our lives in such a way that brings about the righteousness of Christ and the peace of Christ to others. It's also between peace of Christ within our hearts, in our own lives, that we have a conscience that's clear and clean, knowing that I'm right with God. And we would overflow with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So hopefully, if we allow the word to minister to us and things in our lives that I know we talk about sometimes, like, Lord, I really want revival. Lord, I want revival in my life. But it starts with surrenderness to Him. And not to be a stumbling block for others. As my wife said, that we have offenses. I know God reveals, even after on Tuesday, it's like, Lord, I do have offenses at times towards my wife. Right? And so sometimes you do have things, and when the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, reveals to us about things, how do we respond? That's the biggest question, is how do we respond when God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit and by His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word that reveals so much to us. And Lord, how You want us to really know You. Not just head knowledge, but a heart knowledge of really knowing You, trusting You, rely on you, to depend on you, not to power our boat on our own strength, but Lord, to allow you to be the wind in our sails, to lead us and take us where you want us to go. And so Lord, I pray that we would not have any stumbling blocks, or we would not have, definitely not stumbling blocks, but I pray for that we would have unity within the body of Christ. That we have unity within our own households, and our unity at work, or unity at schools, Lord, that we would be Christ's example to the people in this world. Lord, that you give us opportunities to share why we serve you, why we follow you, why we want to die for self, and really share the simplicity of the gospel to the people of this world. And Lord, we know so many people that don't know you, and we just pray, Father, for family salvation. We pray, Father, for friends and family to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray, Father, for this town. We pray, Father, that you, by your Holy Spirit, will draw people to yourself, and they would respond. And Lord, that we would be prepared to share with them. And not to put any stumbling block in front, but Lord, that trust you to convict them and help them. But Lord, that we would be there to mentor them in the Word of God. Lord, we pray for this town. Lord, we pray that you would move, that we would see your hand moving. And give us eyes to see how people are coming to faith. Lord, I just pray that for continued unity within this body of believers, Lord, Lord, if there's anything that needs to be dealt with, Lord, that we would reveal that, and Lord, that we would be quick to repent and to get right. Lord, I just do pray for continued unity that we have here. Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to be working, transforming us and open up our eyes more to your truth every day. Lord, I pray by the blood of Christ over our minds. Lord, I pray for your head to protect him over us. Lord, I pray that as we go out today, Lord, that we can be salt and light in this dark world. We thank you for the time that we live in. We thank you for the hope that you have given us. Lord, as we rely on you, we're going to continue to trust you, depend on you.